Rabbeinu Zal, in this chapter in Likutei Moran, coins two words, tzaddik and lamdan. Listen carefully. The term tzaddik refers to what we called before bris ilah. Tzaddik is shmira sabris, Yosef HaTzaddik style, with women, dealings with women, being perfect, being solid in that area. Lamdan means one who learns halacha, one who learns Gemara, halacha, and knows to distinguish between what's kosher and what's treif, what's tohar and what's tomei, what's posel, what's mutter. That's called lamdan, one who is knowledgeable in learning. That's called bris tator. That's the lower level tikkun habris. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there in that chapter, Shetzrichen liyois tzaddik velamdan. A Jew has to strive to be both tzaddik and lamdan. Umi shesoiver shebechinas lamdan levad humayla. A Jew who is silly enough to think that lamdan alone is something special, that having a lot of knowledge of Torah without the deeds to match it, without being solid in action to match it, a Jew who thinks that that's something, Bechinas Acher. That Jew is in the category of Acher, the Apikoris, the one who was originally the rabbi of Rabbi Meir, and then he lost his faith, he became an Apikoris. He was called Acher, the other, like from the Sitra Achra, from the other side. Shekitzeitz Benetiois, he went against his faith in Hashem, Al Yedei Shesovar, Shemalach Memtes Biatzmoi Hurishus. He lost his faith because the Gemara tells a story where he and three of his friends went up to heaven, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, and he saw Kaviyochel Hashem, and then he saw this other angel writing the Zechuyos of Klal Yisrael, writing the good deeds of Klal Yisrael. So it looked to him as if there's two vice presidents up there. It looked to him as if there's two up there, and that caused him to lose his faith. He thought that this angel, the Malach Memtes, who is the highest level angel in heaven, he thought that he's an entity unto himself. Otherwise, how else do we give him the right to update the books? Because the books are usually handled only by the chairman of the board, that kind of thing. So, Kaviyachal, if he saw Hashem over there, and he saw this other guy writing the books, it looked, then there must be two, Chas v'Shalom. Ki be'emes malach memtes bi'atzmoi b'lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu einoi klum. Because the fact is that this angel without Hashem is zero. Ve'ein lo shum reshus. This angel has no authority and no capability without Hashem. It's nothing without Hashem. Kach ha'toyra b'lo ma'isen toivim eino klum. So too similarly, a Jew who is learning Torah and it isn't improving his actions, how he deals with people, how he deals with Hashem, his Torah is nothing. Ki loy zocho nase loy samoves. Because the Gemara itself says that if a Jew learns and doesn't learn properly, the Torah becomes poison to him. Another page, another spoon of poison. He knows 3 pages, he's a Rosh on level 3. He knows 30 pages, he's 10 times as bad a Rosh. The more pages he learns, he becomes a worse Rosh, Rahman Islam. Kimavur kolze sham b'hatoyranal, as Rabbeinu Zal shows very clearly in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Ki tzrichim lichloil uliyached bechinas hamalach b'hashem tzvokois. Rabbeinu Zal there says, there's a pasuk. The Gemara says that this person, Acher, we said was originally a rabbi in the Gemara, and he turned apikoiris. And yet the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir, who was one of his original students, stayed with him even though he was an apikoiris at the end. So the Gemara says, how is Rabbi Meir allowed to do that? Isn't there a pasuk in the Torah that says that you're only allowed to learn from a rabbi if your rabbi is like a malach Hashem tzvokos? If your rabbi is like a heavenly angel? Isn't that the rule? Meaning that his actions match his words, that he practices what he preaches? So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Meir was an exception to this rule. The Gemara says Rabbi Meir found a rimoin, a pomegranate. He threw away the klipa, and he saved the insides. Rabbi Meir was a chiddush that he was able to have that discretion, whereas 99% of normal Jews can't do that. And therefore, when you're looking for a rabbi, you must look for one whose actions match his learning. Otherwise, disqualified. question was asked, didn't Acher chase Rabbi Meir away at one point? The answer is, the Gemara mentions that at one point, for example, they were walking together on Shabbos, Rabbi Meir was walking, Acher was on a horse, and they got up to a certain point, and Acher said to Rabbi Meir, turn back, you can't go past the line here, because this is the Tchum, this is where the Tchum Shabbos is. So Rabbi Meir looked at him pleadingly and said, Rabbi, you're telling me turn back, you turn back too. Oh, you know everything, like you know more than me, you know a billion times more than me. You're telling me to turn back, you turn back too. So Acher said to him, I can't turn back, because I heard an announcement from Shemayim that said, Shuvu bonim shevovim chutz me'acher. Everybody has the right to do tshuva except Acher. That was what he had heard, a heavenly voice that told him that. But in any case, This is the presentation that's given over there, where the Gemara says that the only rabbi a person is supposed to learn from is a rabbi who is Malach Hashem Tzvokois. Three words are used there: angel, heavenly, Tzvokois. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter in the Gutimran takes a ruler, and he draws a line, and he identifies that the word Malach means Lamdan. Malach, the chief angel in heaven, is this Malach Memtes, and he is known to be kosher, posel, tamei tor, osa mutar. He represents the concept of the six sections of Mishnah. There's a lot of proofs to show this. Now isn't the time to go into it. We're going to have it come up other times. That this angel represents the concept of good and bad mixed together. That's what this angel represents. Whereas I'll just give one example. The angel's name is Mem Tes Tes Resh Vav Nun. The one of these Sifrei Kabbalah says that if you take out the two middle letters, the Tes Tes, Tes Tes is nine and nine is Begimatria Chai. Chai represents the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is called Tzaddik Chai Almen. The remaining letters are Rimon, Resh Mem Vav Nun. A Rimon has good and bad in it. The Rimon has the klipa, which you got to throw away, and the toichoy, which you're able to. That's why it says Rabbi Meir Rimon Motza toichoy ochal. The center he took. Rabbi Meir knew how to take the chai, and the Rimon he was able to discard. He knew how to deal with both parts, because this angel himself represents toivor, is a concept of toivorah mixed together. So Rabbi Nathan says over there, the word Malach represents Lamdan. The next two words, Hashem Tzvokois, that's Tzaddik. Because the word Tzvokois, we said before, is Ois Hi Betzovo Dilei. The word Tzvokois has the word Ois in it, which is a nickname for Tikkun HaBris. The Bris is called Ois. That's the sign where they carve out the Mila, that's called the Ois. So therefore, if your rabbi is Malach, plus Hashem Tzvokois, if he's Tzaddik plus Lamdan, learn from him. If not, stay away from him like poison. If he's got a lot of knowledge and his actions don't meet his deeds, stay away from him. He'll turn you into a Russia. He'll turn you into a smart Russia, which is worse than a dumb Russia. The smart ones are more dangerous. That kind of thing. So now, Rav Nosson Zal continues, Ki tzrichim lichloil uleyached Bechinas Hamalach Bahashem Tzvokois. Because a religious Jew is supposed to try to merge together and to unite the concept of Malach with the concept of Hashem Tzvokois. The pasuk that this is based on is Ki Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Toyro Yevakshem Ipihu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokoisu. There's a pasuk that says that from the lips of a priest you will hear wisdom, and you should seek Torah from his mouth, because he is a heavenly angel. So the Gemara says, if he's Malach Hashem Tzvokois, then seek Torah from his lips. If not, stay away from him. So here's where Rabbeinu Zal explains what Malach is and what Hashem Tzvokois is. Kitzrichim lichloi l'liachid chinas ha-Malach Hashem Tzvokois sheyeh bris tato nechlal bebris ilo. You have to see that you should have both the lower bris and the upper bris. Dainu sheyet tzadik vilamdin kanal umi shehu lamdon levad Ve'enoi hoylech b'derech hayosher, a person who has knowledge of Torah. He learns a lot of Gemara, but he doesn't go on the straight path. He steals. He's not honest in money. He borrows and doesn't return. Does all of those kind of things. Or he's not honest in dealings with women, Rachman Tzlan. He messes up in that area. Zeu bechinas chet eitz hadas toivora. That's the concept of Adam Rishon eating from the eitz hadas. Ki eitz hadas toivora hu bechinas malach memtes kiyodua. Because the tree of wisdom, which had both good and bad in it, corresponds to this angel who is called the Malach Memtes. We say that this angel, the Malach Memtes, represents the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. I think it's the Gemara, the Zohar Kodesh, that says that this angel, he rules, Hashem puts him in charge during the 6 days of the week. The Malach Memtes, Sheshul Tenosei Bechoil, he rules during the 6 days of the week, whereas Kaviyochel, Hashem takes total charge on Shabbos. On Shabbos, Hashem is totally in charge. Because this angel represents the weekdays when there's both good and bad. Shabbos is called Yom Shekulei Toiv, Yom Shekulei Shabbos, all good. This was the main problem of Adam Rishon. He made the mistake that Acher made. Shekitzeitz benetiyos. He was poigim in emuna. Shehifrish bechinas malach memtes me'ashem tzvokos. He separated the knowledge from the action. He separated the lamdan from the tzaddik. Because we the kofar biikar, and he denied Hashem. He went against a clear command of Hashem. Ukemavur besforim, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, shechet shel acher hu bechinas chetoy shel adam arishon. It's brought that these two crimes were one and the same. Because by adam arishon also, how learned was adam arishon? The Medrash says he was the rabbi of all the angels. The Gemara says the angels used to roast meat for him and serve him, because he was their rabbi. It's written that what did Chava call Adam? The $64,000 question. What did she call him? Adam? Adama? Did she call him honey pie? No. The Medrash says she called him Rebbe. She called him rabbi. He was way above the angels in knowledge. That's the case, then how was it possible for him to go against an instruction, a direct command of Hashem and eat from Eitz Hadas? The answer is there was a pirut between Lamdan and Tzadik. That having all the knowledge doesn't prove anything, doesn't prove that you're going to do the right thing yet. Because it's two issues. The knowledge is in the brain. The decision to do good or bad, right or wrong, is in the heart. That's why we say in Aleinu, V'yodato hayoim, knowing it in the brain doesn't yet prove. How many kids are that? I know I wasn't supposed to do it. Then why did you do it? Because I liked it. Because I wanted it. That's why I did it. The question is, was Adam Rishon pogum only after he ate from the tree? The answer is there are other issues that appear between the lines that you don't see in the Chumash. For example, the Gemara says that one of the things that Adam Rishon did wrong, Adam Rishon was created on Friday, the sixth day of creation. He was supposed to wait with his zivug till Shabbos. If he would have held off on living with Chava until Friday night, until Shabbos, the whole world would have come to its tikkun. One aspect of the pegam of the Eitz Hadas was the fact that he didn't wait till Shabbos. The fact that they were connected during the 6 days of the week, that was part of this pigam. And there's other factors also. V'alkein nigzar olav misa. And because Adam Rishon separated between tzaddik and lamdan, that's what brought death to the world. Kimishom nimshach misa. Because that's what brings death to the world. Al yidei shmira sabris shubchinas malach Hashem tzvokois. Al yidei ze oisen afoshois. Because when a person is zochet to shmira sabris, which is the concept of malach Hashem tzvokois, not just malach, but malach Hashem tzvokois, through that he creates holy souls. Shehim bchinas nekudois lahoisios, which represent the vowels to the letters, v'nitztayrin ho'isyes letoiv, and the letters end up forming positive words, words that give life, words that represent good items. V'ideze oise chibur ben guf nefesh, that causes a unity between body and soul, sheze b'chinas chayim, that's called living. Person being alive is a neshama and a guf working together properly. Ki ikar hachayim hu kisha nefesh mechuberes beguf, because the main concept of a person being alive is only when the soul is attached to the body. V'zeh na'asa al-yidei kisufim kidoshim, that's accomplished by a person having the proper desires. Shem b'chinas nekudos loisios, which form the vowels to the letters. We mentioned the pasuk on Thursday, nekudos hakesef, that the kisufin, the yearnings of a person, are what create the nekudos. That's the life force in the person. Ki hakoil echod, because Rav Nosson Zal says these two concepts are one and the same. Which two? Guf v'nefesh, body and soul, v'oisiois v'nekudos, and letters and vowels. Just like when I look at you, do I see your soul? No, I see only your body. When you look in a Sefer Torah, do you see the vowels there? You ever see a Sefer Torah that has the vowels filled in? No. Why? Because the vowels correspond to the neshama. Just like the neshama is invisible, so too the vowels in the Sefer Torah are invisible. All you see is the letters which correspond to the body. The oisios are the body, the nekudos are the neshama. And what forms the nekudos? The ritzonis, the desires of a person, that's the neshama of the person. Ukefi ma shemetzayer oisios ha-Torah le-toiv, to the extent that a Jew is zeiche to form, to combine the letters of the Torah to form positive words, to form the word chayim or parnoso or this, that, to form good things. How? Al yidei kisufim kidoshim, through good desires, shehim b'chinas nefoshos, which represents souls, kemoikei neschaber nafshoyim gufoy bekesher amitz v'chozok, to the extent that a Jew is zeichet to have good desires and that his body and soul should be connected well, to that extent, even after he passes away, ad shafilu achar moisoi yanichlo gufoi benafshoi, his body and soul are still united. Ki hatzadikim heim choyim v'kayomim lo'ad, because tzadikim are considered living permanently. Kama Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, tzadikim b'misosom kruim chayim, a tzadik, even if he passes away, is called alive. V'chol zeh zoichin ha'idei shmiras ha'bris, what gives them that permanent life? The tikkun ha'bris. Sh'ha'idei zeh nikroim tzadikim, the title tzadik applies specifically to tikkun ha'bris. Yosef ha'tzadik, it's not Avram ha'tzadik. Kalidei shmila sabris bishlemus zochu lesaken pegam etzadas tovara, because to the extent that a Jew is zochet to shmila sabris 100%, that person makes the tikkun for the crime of the etzadas. Kihem koilalim bebechinas memtes bechinas lam, kihem koilalim bechinas matat bechinas lamden b'hashem tzvokois. Those tzaddikim who are zeichet to shmira sabris solidly, they combine the angel, that malach memtes, with Hashem. They don't see him as being two separate entities, but rather they see them as a unity, one and the same. Because this angel's name, memtes tes resh vav nun, is exactly bigimatria shin dalid yud. The name of Hashem, which represents tikkun habris, is the name of this angel. And this is why there's a pasuk in Chumash where after the golden calf, I think it is, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine anochi sholeach malochi lefanecha, I'm going to send my angel before you. Al tamer boy, don't, al tamer boy literally means don't exchange. Lahamer means to exchange. Don't exchange him for me, ki shmi bikir boy, because my name is inside of him. Meaning, how could you ever confuse an angel with Hashem? The answer is, this angel, His name is equal to Hashem's name. He has this name of Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, in him. His Mem Tes Tes Resh Vav Nun is Begimatria 314 exactly. And it's designed in such a way that you could easily make a mistake. When? If your Tikkun HaBris isn't perfect. To the extent, it says over there, by Acher, the Gemara says, that he grabbed a woman off the street and he committed adultery with her. The Gemara says a few crimes that he did, that it specifies. How else did he get to make this mistake of seeing these two, an angel and Hashem, as being two entities? Because the Shmira Sabris wasn't Bishlemus. And in fact, there's a fantastic story. There's a Tosfos in Gemara Chagiga where it speaks, where it quotes this pasuk about Kisiv Seikoim. Tosfos tells the story of the Bris Mila of Acher. It says how his father was making the Bris, and he wanted personal kavod, so he invited all the rabbis, big rabbis, to come to the Bris, but he didn't do it, he did it for his kavod, like. And it says over there, there was a whole story that the rabbis were learning, and a fire surrounded them, and in the end, somebody said something implying that the child that's going to come from this is not going to be good. What was it for? Just related to this topic, to show how from the Bris is determined this whole issue. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tes Vohem Aleph says that Acher said, I can't do tshuva because I heard an announcement from heaven that said, Shuvu bonim shevovim chutz mi Acher. Anybody, any Shababniks can do tshuva except for Acher. So Tosfos says, B'Yerushalmi mefarish lomo ira leikach. In the Yerushalmi, it explains why this happened to him, why this whole thing happened to him. Second. Tosfos goes on to say that there was an interchange between Rabbi Meir, the student, and his rabbi Acher, and at one point Acher said to him that your rabbi Rabbi Meir didn't say like you say, but he said differently. He said, Toiv Achris Dovor Me Reishisoi, that what determines how good something is going to be at the end, its beginning. Depending on how good the beginning is, that has a lot to say as to what the end is going to be. Ubi Havi Hamaisa, and Acher went on to say, and I'm living proof of that. Avuya Ovi Hava Migdoile Yerushalayim. My father, Avuya, was one of the great people in Yerushalayim. Ubiyoim Shebo Lemahuli, and on the day that my Bris Mila was supposed to take place, Kora Lechol Gedoile Yerushalayim, he invited all the leaders of Yerushalayim, Voishivan Bebayis Echod. He put them all in one room, one large room, Ula Rebbe Eliezer or the Rebbe Yeshua, B'mokim Acher. And he put Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, who were the two leading tzaddikim at the time, them he put in a separate room. Min da'ochlin v'shosin, while the people were eating and drinking, shorim, they were singing, metapchin, clapping, omarakdin, dancing, Amri, these two rabbis said, Ad de ilayin askin bididhu, while all of those people are doing their thing, they're having their good time with the music, with the different music and other stuff, nasa bididon, we'll do our thing. Yoshvu, these two rabbis sat down, v'nisasku b'divrei Torah, and they started having a discussion in Torah. In other words, it seemed that there were two types of guests at this party. There was the Rebbe Eliezer of Yeshua, and there were the other guys who were in it for the fun. They came for the music at the Bris Mila. So he put them in two different rooms. They started learning. Yordo Eish min Hashamayim, a heavenly fire came down, v'hekifoison, and encircled these two rabbis, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua. Omar loin avuya abo, so my father Avuya said to them, Gavrin, ma bosem lisroi beisi? Did you come here to burn my house down? He saw fire, a sheet of fire around them. Omru loi, they said to him, chas v'sholom, ela yoishven o yinu v'choizrin divrei Torah, but rather we started a discussion in Torah, mi Torah l'neviim, and we went from Chumash to Novi, umi neviim l'ksuvim, and we went from Novi to ksuvim, v'hoyu advorim smechim k'nisinosam misinai. And the words of Torah that we were speaking were so ecstatic, the words were so elated, they felt the same thrill as they felt when Hashem spoke them on Mount Sinai. Loi bo'esh nitnu, when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, didn't he give it with fire? We just read it yesterday, remember? Last week, yes, Parshas Yisroi. Omar, so Rabbi, so Acher said, Hoyel v'kach koicho shel Torah. Wow, he said. If that's what Torah could do, that if you have knowledge of Torah, two people could sit down and make fireworks. They could make July 4th. They don't need Giovanni, the guys to sell the fireworks. Gucci. They don't need Gucci. They can make their own fireworks. If that's what it could do, if this child lives, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to have him become a Ben Torah. Those were his words. If that's what the Torah can earn you, that you can have this display of fire around you, then I want my son to become a Talmud Chacham. Because of the fact that his intent was not sincere, that's why you want your son to become a Ben Torah, so that he could make fireworks? That's why... Because his intent was not sincere, that's why the Torah did not have a success in him. The Torah that Acher learned wasn't constructed. It did him harm. We're continuing in middle of Hilchas Nachlois, Halacha Gimel, page 98, the left-hand column, in middle of the column, where the last two words on the line are V'chol zeh zeichen al yidei shmiras habris, shaydei zeh nikroim tzadikim. To everything we spoke about so far, about being zeichen to create letters, to create vowels for the letters, etc., etc., a person is zeichen to that through tikkun habris, because that's how a person is called a tzadik. Kal yidei shmiras habris b'shleimus zochu l'sakin pegam etzadas tevora. Because through the fact that tzaddikim are zeichet to shleimus and tikkun habris, that's how they're zeichet to correct the pegam of the Eitz Hadas. Ki hem klulim bebechinas malach memtes, ki hem koilalim bechinas malach memtes, bechinas lamdim b'Hashem tzvokois al yidei tzidkosom u'maseyem hatoivim. These tzaddikim are zeichet to combine both items. They're zeichet to combine the concept of lamdim, which we said is associated with the Malach Memtes, and the concept of Hashem Tzvokois, which is the concept of Tzadik. They combine both Tzadik Vilamdin through their actions and deeds. They're not just learning. They're learning and doing Mitzvah Smais and Toivim. Vazai Nivdal Hora Meitzadas. If a Jew is Zecher to have both, the Bechin of Tzadik plus Lamdin, that person is zeichet to slice away the ra from the Eitz Hadas. Vazai al yedei shezeichem shmiras habris heim oisin nefoshois, and then through their shmiras habris they create souls. Umechayin umetzayin esoisis latoiv, and they take the letters and they format them to form good siruthim, positive combinations. Shohoyo metchila kegoilim. These letters, which originally were like clay, they weren't formed into anything yet. They could have gone either way, good or bad. Ukemoikein nitztayer gufam letoiv. And so too, the same way these tzaddikim take this goilim, the letters, and put the right nekudas to it through their good ritzoinos and form it into good sirufim, so too their body, which is like the corresponds to the oisios. You remember we learned previously that the neshama is the nekudais, the body is the oisios. They're also take their body and make from the body a good item also. Ki hakoil echod kanal. Because these sets of concepts are all one. The oisios and the nekudais, the guf and the nefesh, the tzaddik velamden, and the tikna the eitzadas toivara. It's all one concept. The letters that we're referring to here, we say it's written that Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu Uberuach Piv Kol Tzavon, that everything in creation was created with letters. And in a spiritual sense, when we talk about a table or a food item, we believe, B'Emunah Shleimah, that there are letters in that item, that what gives chiyus to a table, it's the oisios in that table. The Torah is called the Tree of Life. The battery of this entire earth is the Torah, the Oisiyos HaTorah. Each individual object on earth, whether it be food or anything, what gives food the ability to nourish you, to sustain you? The Oisiyos that are in that food. And very often, these oisies, the food can go either way. Two people can eat the same item, one person gets indigestion from it, one person, has shalom, gets sick from it, and the other person eats and gets away with it. Why? We're being told here that one of the issues that could swing the object to good or to bad is the ritzainos that you have, your ratzain, the kisufin that you have. If a person has a good ratzain, then he can take an item that's sort of in between, that's in the middle, and shove it to the right, shove it to the side of good. Put good nekudos onto it and swing it to the side of good. If the person has bad ritzainos, ritzainos for sin and that kind of thing, then he can take the golem, the clay, and form it into something destructive, you know, and push it to the other side. Ki ho ikar hu l'shaber haguf u'lechoifoy lichsoiv tomed l'ashem yizborach. Rav Nosson Zal says, because one of the main missions of a Jew on earth is to break the body. Break the body meaning to humble the body, to take the control away from the body. It's not that my body is going to decide what time I should eat and how much I should eat. Those decisions the neshama is going to make, not the guf. L'shaber haguf u'lechoifoy lichsoif tomed l'ashem yisporach. And to force the body to become oriented to yearning constantly for Hashem. Again, you have a day, a person who's in the habit of eating breakfast, lunch, and supper every single day, and suddenly there's a fast day on the calendar, and suddenly he tells the body, take a walk, man. Just because you're used to 8 o'clock every morning being given, you know, the orange juice and the this, that, today, just take a walk, period. It's not available. Why? Because the neshama said so. Because the neshama says today is a vacation day. Today the body is stays out of the kitchen. Period. That kind of thing. Ki hayoyim la soysam. Because the pasuk says that today in olam hazeh this is the place to do. This is the world of action. Ki boilam habo bevadai yiyu hakoyo mechsof mashem isborach levad. Because naturally everybody knows that when Mashiach is going to come in olam haba, everybody's going to be just wanting to serve Hashem. Afilu umin di alma, lahavdil even the goyim. Even those goyim that are going to be around at that time, even they are certainly going to be yearning, are going to have good desires only, etc., etc. Avol mi shetorach be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos. But the Gemara says the rule is, what's going to determine who gets to be there or not? It's the one who during olam hazeh, during life in this world, when there was Bechira, when there was a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, the one who was able to choose the right path now and train himself to live by Olam Haba standards, train himself to put the Neshama in charge of the Guf, that person will be Zeuche to have the full merit of Olam Haba. Ki ho ikar hu mi she Zeuche lichsoif tomed l'ashem izborach kol zman she nafshei kshura begufoi. The most important thing is for a person to rise to the madrega where they're constantly yearning to serve Hashem and to please Hashem while they have a body, while they're physical, while there's bechira. Sheyargil atzmoy laharchik machshavtoy, to train himself to keep his mind away from what it's supposed to keep away from. Sheloy tachshoyv utaharer chas v'shalom betayvoyz v'kisufin dayalma, that his mind should not be involved in thinking and all kinds of thinking about the taivos and desires of this world. Whether it be thinking about what he's going to have for supper, or whether it be thinking, Rahman al-Islam, totally bad thoughts about women, that kind of thing. A person has to train himself that the mind should not swerve that way. Rak shetichsoy v'tishtoykeik tomed l'ashem izborach, but rather that his mind should be working 24 hours a day, yearning and thinking about pleasing Hashem, serving Hashem. V'chol ma shekoysef u'mishtoykek yoysel Hashem Yisborach, and the more that a Jew is zeicha to this, both in terms of quantity and quality, the more that a Jew is zeicha to be able to do this more hours of the day and more solidly, v'oysen nefoshois yoysel lahoysios, thereby creating more souls for the letters, meaning more nekudos, because we said the nekudos come from the kisufin. Kemoikein mamshich kedusha v'chias legufoy. To the extent that the person improves in that, to that extent, they're improving their body. They're drawing more kiddush and chiyus into the body. Ki gufoi shehu bebechinas oisiyos nitzayer letoiv ayde anafoshos shoso, because his body, which corresponds to the letters, when it has more good vowels added to it, the body becomes nitzayer letoiv. The nekudos, the ritzoinos, are the life of the body. Shehem bechinas oisios kanal, the bodies which represent the oisios. Note, interestingly, lahavdil, when a person is ill, sometimes a person is suffering a very serious kind of illness, and they say, and he's fighting and fighting, fighting. And then the person passes away, and they say he lost the desire to live. As long as a person has, in other words, what's the battery of the guf? What keeps the guf alive? Rotzon. Another a nickname for the neshama in Likutei Halachos is rotzon. That's what it is. It's the ritzonos of the person. That's that nefesh. The word nefesh im yeshes nafshechem lodas. The word nefesh, Rashi Hakodesh says in Chumash, is rotzon. So that the ikar life, the ikar battery and source of life in the body is rotzon. To the extent that a person is pulling that to the side of good or bad, that determines whether they have a good life or a bad life. That determines whether the guf is rosha or tzaddik. It depends on how high you turn up the volume on the ritzonos and whether the ritzonos are to the right or to the left, chas v'shalom. V'al kein, therefore, al yedei habonim shehu moilid. Therefore, going back to our topic of inheritance, through the fact that it... So we said that through the bonim, which the person brings into the world, shehem bechines hanefoshos hayoytzim ayidei tikkun habris kanal, the bonim, we said, are an example of the nefoshos being created as a result of one's tikkun habris. A person has tikkun habris, and they marry a person and live with them bigdusha, al pi alocha, and that results in children. The nefoshos of those children are the nefoshos that were created as a result of his good ritzonos, as a result of his tikkun habris. Al kein al yodom hu tikkun lenefesh hameis. Therefore, upon those children is dependent the tikkun of the nefesh of the parent who's passing away. The nechshav kiilu hu b'chayim. And as long as they are, as long as the children are alive and well, and going on a proper derech, it's considered as if the parent is alive and well. K'moy shom razal, as the Gemara says, kol hameiniach ben liyorshoi ke'ilu loy meis. That is, if a person leaves behind a child to inherit them, it's as if that person did not die. K'al yidei hanefoshois hakdoishim. Shehim shech b'chaim, ayidei b'chinas tikkun habris, because through the holy souls which this parent drew into the world during his lifetime with his tikkun habris, ayidei zeh niskasher nafshoi begufoi loylam kanal. That makes the connection between the parent's nefesh and the parent's guf a permanent one. That's what solidifies the kesher between the nefesh and the guf. Meaning, if a Jew's nefesh is not so good, then his guf is a piece of garbage. If his nefesh is not so good, and the nefesh isn't able to influence the guf in a good direction and everything, then the kesher is not so good, then when this person dies, the guf goes literally to the garbage, and the nefesh goes to wherever it can get to. But to the extent that a Jew during his life is zeicher to achieve tikkun habris, he's zeicher to get married, and he's zeicher to have children, which is a second issue of tikkun habris, that which we've learned before that tikkun habris is one of the most strongest items, one of the most positive items that creates nefoshos. And when you're creating nefoshos, you're thereby, which means ritzonos, you're thereby also strengthening your own nefesh. And when you strengthen your own nefesh, you thereby make its kesher with the guf a better one, where the guf benefits in the process. Then that person is considered alive. That person is considered alive even after he passes away. Bring it into the right keli, that already is a madreg of tikkun habris. And it's already a deviation from tikkun habris. In terms of tikkun habris, is one of the barometers of Tikkun HaBris, that a person rises to a level where they have no pleasure at the time of relations, that type of item, or no. And the answer is the Gemara at the end in Nedarim, in one place quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who said that for him this act was, he felt it's as if he were being forced by a shed. Because he felt, like you force a kid to eat spinach. That's how he felt in this act. It was completely against. He had changed his nature so dramatically where it became an unpleasant type of thing for him as a result of his ruchnias. Now, there are people who by nature, chas v'shalom, are iceberg, a person that's cold in nature, where this item affects them less than another person. Here we're talking about a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, who's a ball of fire. The Gemara says, if you see a Talmud Chacham that gets angry, if you see haitzur b'merabonon derosach, don't feel badly towards him, because he's wall-to-wall Torah, and the Torah is fire. So in other words, a Talmud Chacham by nature, it would seem to an extent, is fire. He has tremendous desire, and yet the tzaddik is the one who takes that fire and reverses it and makes a complete U-turn and directs all of that fire only towards Hashem, whereas when it comes to eating and drinking and women, no fire. He's like an ice cube. He has to force himself to go ahead and do it. That kind of item. Or by Rabbi Nizal, who said about himself that he felt as much pain in this item as a child feels at a bris milah. That's how painful and difficult this item was to him. Only physical aspects of it, and the physical pleasure, etc.
Just maintaining
the arrhythmias of it.
Exactly. He also said that
Kizehu bechinas tikkun eitz hadas, because everything we're discussing here so far is participating in the tikkun of the eitz hadas. Shehu pigam habris kanal. We said earlier that the act of eating from the eitz hadas is an example of pigam habris. Shal yodoi nimshach misa boilam, and that's what brought death into the world. V'alkein, so therefore bonim represents. Bonim represent a major tikkun. The question was asked that regarding this issue of Tikkun HaBris, so we know that if a person isn't there in terms of the kesher between husband and wife, if a person isn't there to a certain extent and feeling something on a physical level and on a ruchnius level also, it's not possible for it to result in anything. And the answer is, we find in Likutei Moran, I think there's a trace of this, and in Likutei Tfilos, which is like the Rashi for Likutei Moran, Rav Nosenthal in his Tefillah spells it out clearly. When he asks Hashem for Tikkun HaBris, he mentions certain examples of it, that I shouldn't want any pleasure, this, that, however, I should have just the minimum that's necessary in order to produce children, Bigdusha, etc., etc. So there is a definite awareness of that. The concept of Tikkun HaBris is Vayeda Odo Neschav Ishtoi, where the das is totally active and in control. It's not the body that's driving what's being done, but that the das is totally in control. We gave the example, the halacha, that a shikar, that husband and wife aren't allowed to, when drank a certain quantity of wine. Why? Because that's histalkus adas. And here the ikar is that the das should be on all four burners. The das should be at its highest height during this time. When is the das high? When it's plugged into Hashem.
I'm just wondering if you have to.
The answer is
Rabbeinu Zal,
or Rabbi Eliezer said kilu kfoi shade. He was simply implying that he had changed the pride. He had reversed this item completely. And again, I wanted to make a very clear distinction. I've heard from people, and as I've heard from living in this world, that there are different people have different natures. Sometimes you can have two men or two women or a husband and wife who have opposite natures. One is warmer by nature, one is colder by nature. That's not what we're referring to here. We're referring to a person whose fire has super fire, billions of watts. And whereas what the world calls a normal person like that, it would take him tons of food and tons of women and tons of everything to allocate that fire, to cool down that fire. By him, he directs that fire all towards Torah and Tefillah. Tzaddik has been zoche to redirect, literally take a river that's flowing, or an ocean, and make a canal and channel that water totally in an opposite direction from the way its norm is to flow, channel it completely, completely towards Torah Tefillah, Cham Libi Bekirbi, Behagigi Tivaresh Dibarti Belashoni, into his Diburim of Torah and Tefillah, and left the physical areas completely dry, literally like dry, not a drop of fire, not a drop of water, that, you know, where literally he's got to donate, he's got to take with an eyedropper, just a drop of that fire, just enough to perform the physical, you know, activity. Or just enough that the other person, that the wife shouldn't feel insulted, chashom, this, you know, that to make the other person should know how cold he is to it, or how much he's changed himself completely, where this to him is nothing. That kind of thing. Not this, the physical aspect of this is nothing. The mitzvah is kodesh. Therefore, it's only justified and right that the children should receive all the, should inherit all of the person's money and the produce of his efforts, his toil. Because a person's money or wealth, which is the person's parnosa, shehu bechinas raglin kanal, corresponds to the person's feet. We've mentioned in the past that there's a posuk that's called Hayikum Asher Baraglecho, and Rashi Kodesh says there's Zum Moinoi Shelodom Shemekim Oyal Raglov, that the money of a person is the legs. That's what gives the person his, the ability to stand up tall or short, or bechlal, to stand up or not be able to stand up, in a sense. Ki Hamomoin Shu Parnosa Sodom Shu Bechinas Raglin Kanal Hu Bechinas Guf. Therefore, the money in Parnosa symbolizes the guf in the context of our discussion. Because we know what keeps the body alive, money, eating, drinking, you know, the physical wealth. And a Jew who eats and makes his eating a physical experience, without desires for Kiddusha, that I'm eating this only for the sake of serving Hashem better, it should improve my brain and my heart and everything, Azai Enoi Mekasher Nafshe Legufoi. For that person, eating is only a physical experience. The Nefesh and Guf are not working on it together. Vazai Kishe Yoitzes Nishmosoi. Therefore, such a person, when his Neshama leaves him, Humeis Mamish Rachmalslan, the body, he's a corpse, he's dead. Avol kishezoicha lekisuf in digdusha, whereas if a person is zoicha to have good, holy desires, shaydeze oise nefoshes kanal, which we said results in creating nefoshes, vazai kolachilosoi bebchinas lechem aponim, and Rabbeinu Zal said over there in that chapter in the Ketubot that such a person, when he eats, his eating is on the level of lechem aponim, the holy bread that was in the Beis HaMikdosh. By him, his achila is not raglin. His achila is not gashmius and guf. But on the contrary, his achila is ruchnius. It's the light of the face. This means that the guf gets folded into the nefesh, and not the opposite, that the nefesh succumbs to the guf. Al kein nafshoi kshura begufay tomei. By such a person, the kesher between the nefesh and the guf is a permanent one. Afilu lachar moisoi. Even after the person physically dies, the guf isn't thrown into the garbage. The guf remains mekusha to the nefesh to an extent. Ki tzadikim b'misosom kruim chayim, because a tzadik, after he passes away, is still called alive. Al yedei shezocho lekisufin digdusha ba'oidei begufoi. Based on the fact that he was zeichet to have holy desires while he was physically living. And relative to that, that's what's going to determine how alive he is after his passing. To the extent that a Jew is zeichet to intensify their kisuf and nigdusha, to that extent the guf remains connected to the nefesh forever. V'al kein, al yidei shehabonim, therefore, the children, which symbolize the nefashos that are created by the tikkun abris of the person, by the good ritzonis of the person, al yidei shehem mekablim amoinu yeparnasosei lachar moisoi, by them receiving daddy's possessions after daddy passes away, al yidei ze nisale nafshoi, through that this person's nefesh goes up, v'nimshach he'oro v'chiyus legufoi bakever, and his body in the grave receives some of the light and some of the life from the nefesh. Ki ikar tikon ames hualidei hanefoshois hanasna idei tikon abris, because the main tikon of a person who passes away comes from those nefoshois which resulted from his tikon abris. Shaydezer nistakin chetei tzadas, that's what serves as a tikon for the begam of the tzadas. V'nidchezu amas hamiso min ames, and that's what removes the stigma of death from this dead body that passed away. That's what removes the title, mace, and the stigma of death from this corpse. V'nim shacholov kidushas hanefoshos, and there is drawn onto the body of this mess, onto this corpse, there is drawn some of that holiness of the nefoshos, shenas laidei tikkun abris, which were created from tikkun abris, shaydei hanefoshos ve'elu nikre b'misosoi chai, whereby through these nefoshos, this person, even in death, is considered alive. Bechinas tzadikim b'misosom kruim chayim, as the pasuk says, that the tzadik in death is considered alive.